Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're tackling something really fundamental to our daily lives, yet surprisingly complex: our eating habits.
That's right.
We've got a collection of fascinating research, some survey data too, and our goal is to really dig into how our psychology shapes, what, when, and why we eat.
Exactly. And if you're looking for a way to get a good handle on this, this really intricate relationship between our minds and our meals quickly without feeling overwhelmed, well, you're definitely in the right place.
Yeah, we want to give you that shortcut.
Our mission really is to pull out the core psychological drivers behind our eating behaviors and maybe offer some initial food for thought on how to build a healthier connection with food.
Okay, let's jump right in then. One of the first things that always seems to pop up is emotional eating. We all kind of know that feeling, right? Reaching for a specific snack when we're stressed, maybe just bored, or even celebrating something. What's actually going on there?
Well, what's really interesting psychologically is the brain's reward system. Eating, especially the foods we find comforting, it triggers this release of dopamine.
Ah, the pleasure chemical.
Yeah, exactly. A chemical that's strongly linked to pleasure. There's actually a quote from Professor Dr. Habil, Johann Christoph Clauder, who noted, "Our limbic system is very old. Part of our brain is kind of constantly seeking reward."
Always looking for that hit.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And food, well, it's readily available, right? So
Yeah.
it's often a really straightforward, uncomplicated way to satisfy that craving.
So it's almost like this primal drive for that feel-good sensation. But as we all know from experience, that quick hit can often lead down the path to overeating. And usually it's foods that aren't the most nutritious we're reaching for.
Precisely. And just recognizing this connection, understanding that the desire for comfort food is often rooted deep in this reward mechanism, that's a really key first insight.
Just knowing why helps.
It does. It lets us become aware of the pattern, and then we can start thinking about, okay, what are some healthier strategies for dealing with those emotions underneath?
That makes a lot of sense. It's that moment where you pause and think, hang on, am I actually hungry or am I just feeling stressed, sad? Thinking about it personally, have you ever noticed yourself grabbing a particular food when you're under pressure?
Oh, definitely.
It really brings this point home, doesn't it? Now, okay, so it's not just what's going on inside our own heads, is it? Our environment, our culture, society, that must all play a pretty big role too.
Absolutely. A huge role. If we kind of zoom out a bit, our cultural and social settings exert this really powerful and often unconscious influence on how we eat. And it starts really early.
Like family stuff.
Yeah, think about family traditions. Maybe there's that specific Sunday roast or certain foods you only eat on holidays, even just the regular routines around mealtimes in your family growing up.
Right, those get so deeply ingrained. I can instantly think of like three food traditions from my childhood just like that. And it's not just the specific foods, is it? It's the whole act of sharing meals.
Exactly that. Eating together, it's so often a social thing, right? It strengthens bonds between people. And these shared meals, these customs, they reinforce certain dietary choices over, well, over years, over generations even. And think about how culture defines what's normal, what's a staple food versus something exotic.
Sure, like rice in many Asian cuisines or pasta in Italy. It's fundamental.
Absolutely fundamental. And these habits become so deeply rooted, passed down. It makes you realize, well, first, how hard they can be to change sometimes.
Definitely.
But also, it highlights the potential for using that social connection, that social support, maybe to encourage positive dietary shifts too.
That's an interesting angle. I'm definitely sitting here reflecting on my own food traditions now and thinking, okay, how have they shaped how I eat today?
And this leads nicely into another really important aspect, the automatic nature of so many of our eating behaviors, habitual eating. We often find ourselves, in these routines when we eat what we eat, often without much conscious thought involved, like that morning coffee and pastry or the same sandwich for lunch every day.
Those autopilot moments, exactly. And it's worth remembering, these habits aren't purely psychological, are they?
No, not at all. Dietary habits are this complex mix. There's psychology, physiology, even genetic predispositions, and like we were just saying, those crucial social factors.
So when we talk about trying to consciously make different choices, that brings us to self-regulation, doesn't
Yeah.
it? Maybe we could unpack that term a little for everyone listening.
Sure. Self-regulation, when we talk about eating, basically refers to our ability to make intentional food choices, choices that line up with our health goals, our well-being goals. And the research shows that when self-regulation is challenging, it can lead to some pretty significant health issues. anything from nutritional deficiencies to overweight and obesity. And it can even play a part in developing eating disorders like anorexia nervosa.
And it's quite stark when you look at the stats, isn't it? The huge increase in obesity rates, especially in the second half of the 20th century, it really hammers home how tough it can be to exert that conscious control, particularly in the kind of food environment we live in today.
Precisely. It's everywhere. When you look deeper into the psychological roots of eating disorders, you often find things like distorted body image, underlying stress, anxieties, and those intense societal pressures about appearance.
Yeah, huge pressures.
And it's also really important to see the link between mental health and diet as a two-way street. It goes both ways. So, okay. For instance, feelings of depression can often trigger emotional eating patterns,
right,
which can then make the depression worse, creating this really challenging cycle.
Okay, so, wow. Given all these connected pieces, the emotional triggers, the cultural background, the sheer power of habit, and these challenges with self-regulation, what can we actually do? What are some practical strategies to maybe build a healthier relationship with food? This is where mindful eating comes in, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Mindful eating is, I think, a really promising approach here. Mm. What's great about it is its simplicity, but it can have a really significant impact.
Okay, so what does it actually involve?
It basically means bringing your full attention, your complete awareness, to the actual experience of eating, really savoring each mouthful, noticing the textures, the smells, the tastes, and crucially, listening to your body's own signals, those cues for hunger and fullness. Think about just noticing that first bite, how it tastes, maybe how that changes as you keep eating. It sounds simple.
But we rarely do it. We're usually eating while doing something else, right? Watching TV, scrolling on our phone.
Exactly. So it's about shifting away from that distracted, almost automatic way we often eat and just being fully present with the food.
Yep.
And this increased awareness, this presence, can really help us figure out why we're eating at any particular moment.
Yeah.
Is it real physical hunger?
Yeah.
Is it just habit kicking in? Or is it maybe an emotional response?
I see.
And by cultivating that awareness, we give ourselves the power to make more deliberate, conscious choices.
Are there any concrete things people can try? Practical steps to bring more mindfulness to meals?
Oh, absolutely. Simple things can make a difference. Like trying to set consistent meal times can help regulate those natural hunger cues.
Okay.
Minimizing distractions is a big one. Turning off screens, putting the phone away, just allowing yourself to focus on the food and your body's signals.
Right. Pay attention.
Yeah. And maybe taking just a moment before eating or even afterwards to reflect. Were there any emotional triggers maybe prompting you to eat just then? Just asking the question.
Mm.
Because recognizing those psychological reasons, maybe seeking comfort, maybe seeking pleasure through food, it opens the door to finding other ways, potentially healthier ways, to meet those same underlying needs.
Imagine that. Truly tasting every bite and actually understanding why you're reaching for food. It sounds, like you said, simple but also incredibly powerful. Okay, so to kind of wrap things up and synthesize everything we've covered today, what are the main takeaways from this deep dive?
I think the absolute core point is just how deeply interwoven our eating habits are with our whole psychological landscape. It's not separate.
Right.
Our emotions definitely influence our food choices. Our cultural background shapes what we like and what feels normal. Our daily routines lock in habits. And our ability to self-regulate, well, that massively impacts our dietary patterns.
It's all connected.
It's a constant interaction, really. Our mental state affects what we eat. Mm-hmm. And flip side, our diet impacts our mental well-being.
It really highlights why we need a sort of holistic view, doesn't it? One that doesn't just count calories or nutrients, but really brings in these vital psychological insights. And you had a neat way to summarize these different factors and potential approaches.
Yeah, just thinking about it in buckets helps. So emotional eating, the impact is comfort, activating the reward system. Interventions, things like identifying your personal triggers, finding alternative coping mechanisms.
Okay.
Then habitual eating, driven by routines, maybe culture. Strategies there could be consciously setting new routines, maybe getting social support for changes.
Makes sense.
Cultural influences shape our preferences, our traditions. So the approach might be finding healthy adaptations that still respect cultural norms.
Right, not throwing everything out.
Exactly. Self-regulation failures, these can lead towards disordered eating. So interventions like mindful eating practices, maybe seeking psychological support if needed, become really important.
Mm-hmm.
And then mindful eating itself. Mm-hmm. The impact is increased awareness, a better relationship with food. The strategy is practicing presence, reflecting on why you're eating.
That's a really helpful breakdown. It shows how all these different psychological threads weave together. So as we wrap up this deep dive into, well, the fascinating connection between our minds and what's on our plate, it's really clear there's so much more going on than just physical hunger.
Indeed. Our eating patterns are just profoundly tied to our psychology. And simply gaining that understanding, that awareness, can be a really powerful first step towards positive change.
So for you listening, I really encourage you to take a moment, maybe later today, just reflect on your own eating patterns through this lens we've discussed. Thinking about all these powerful psychological forces we've touched on, maybe ask yourself, what's one small mindful step you could take today? Just understand your own personal relationship with food a little better.
Yeah.
It's not about pressure for huge, drastic changes overnight. It's more about fostering a sense of curiosity, really, and maybe building a deeper connection with your own body and your own mind.